And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome here to another edition of the Move the Sticks podcast. In for DJ today, I am Rhett Lewis, hanging out with Bucky Brooks, and I'm actually sitting here in my hotel room in New Orleans on my way to Minneapolis. It is that time of year, Bucky. It's might be my favorite time of year outside of draft time, and that is training camp time. And it's out to, you know, it gives us a chance to get out and see some players in person, to talk to some people, and to see some practice. And so, you know, haven't gotten to do that for about a year since we didn't have ITC last year, Bucky. So it's great to be back out.
Look, man, it's outstanding. It's an outstanding opportunity to not only get out and see people, but, you know, this industry is all about connections and having these conversations. And sometimes when you're in a training camp, you actually have conversations that you can't have over the phone. I think it's a great thing. One, the coverage that we've had on NFL Network, showing all the camps and all the conversations that have taken place when you guys, because you've been hosting a lot of the coverage, have been able to talk to guys. But then, I don't know, man, I just think it's something about when your body clock knows it's football time. And even though in the industry, we know it's B-roll and that other stuff, but there's nothing like watching guys with pads on, going through drills and doing all this other stuff, even though most teams won't even let us show team drills.
Right. I mean, more than most, it feels like all. We've gotten some 7-on-7 drills from some teams. Certainly grateful for that. I know the Vikings have let us show some stuff, the Chargers. And it's just like, it's gold whenever we can get that opportunity to show, you know, even if it's just a couple of 7-on-7 reps, give the folks, you know, a little bit more than the stretching. But we're thankful for all the video we get, and it's just great to be back out with the teams. I could sit there and watch the grass grow for 4 hours on television just to get back out here. So, and hot dang, we got football tonight, Buck. I mean, hello, here we go. We got football now. What, every week till, like, I don't know, February? This is fantastic. We got the Cowboys and the Steelers kicking off the 2021 preseason schedule with the Hall of Fame game up in Canton, Ohio, and you and I both, Bucky, have been to see the Cowboys a little bit. We know we won't see Dak Prescott tonight. I doubt we see Ben Roethlisberger. But there's still plenty to gain from a game like this, especially for those guys fighting for a spot here, Buck.
You know, I think there's a lot to gain, because with only three preseason games, it changes the way that you normally would set your rotations. But the Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers have a benefit of a fourth game. So for a young guy, this is a great opportunity to have bonus time. Bonus playing time to be able to show coaches and scouts what you can do, because here's a little behind baseball or behind football.
Sure, a little inside baseball. Yeah, give it to us.
Yeah, the depth chart changes dramatically after the first preseason game.
Yeah.
All of the things that have been done over the spring and summer and all of that, it all goes out the window after that first preseason game. So that impression that you make, that first impression in preseason, it needs to be a good one.
Yeah.
Because now you can be left behind. It's just the nature of the business, where the evaluation just changes when you begin to play quote unquote real games. In the preseason, they're the real games of the summer.
And, you know, I'm thinking back now, Mike Tomlin, I think, announced that Mason Rudolph was going to get the start for the Steelers tonight in the Hall of Fame game, as he's trying to, you know, continue to solidify his spot as the backup quarterback there in Pittsburgh on a team that's got, what, Dwayne Haskins, right? And, you know, has brought Josh Dobbs back last year. So, you know, Mason, who's started a few games there, is now going to get that opportunity again tonight for the Steelers. And then on the Cowboys side of things here, Bucky, I mean, look, obviously Dak Prescott is a storyline. We've kind of been talking about that a whole bunch, trying to keep it, you know, keep it cautious with his return to play. Like, has not thrown a pass, to my understanding, in like the last week, as he's trying to deal with that muscle strain. But I'm really interested in the competition and stylistically what this Cowboys defense looks like this year after, you know, what was a historically bad year a year ago. Leighton Vander Esch, when I was talking to him out there, Bucky, I don't know if I saw someone more excited about kind of like a fresh start than Leighton Vander Esch, who's back, says he's back playing the will, which he feels more comfortable in out there. And there's some real competition, particularly in that Cowboys secondary after they drafted three corners. You know, they had some guys move on. You know, Trayvon Diggs is kind of trying to solidify his spot out there as a starting corner. Who's opposite him? And then how do they work in those other young guys, I think, is something we could really watch for tonight.
you know, what I really like about the Cowboys when I've had an opportunity to watch them defensively, I love the energy that they're playing with. I love how fast and free it looks like their team is playing in the back seven. Linebackers are flying around, moving to the ball. The DBs, it appeared to me when I was there, man, they were getting their hands on so many balls that you could just feel like the confidence was rising with every rep. Dan Quinn, to me, I think this is a great situation for Dan Quinn, not only because I believe he's going to fix the Cowboys defense, but being with a big brand on a national stage and a platform, I believe in a year or so, Dan Quinn's going to get another head job because I feel his presence on the field when I'm watching them in practice. And I'm not saying that Mike McCarthy is not the head coach of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But I definitely get a sense that Dan Quinn has a lot of sway and influence on the way the Cowboys are going about their business. And that's me saying that after watching them this year and thinking about to how they played and how they interacted with their coaches last year.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And it just it feels different out there watching this defense, talking to Jalen Smith, to Leighton Vander Esch, just the excitement, the optimism. I feel like Bucky is a whole different ballgame there in Dallas. And that actually, as we get set for the Hall of Fame game tonight and talking a little bit about the Cowboys and the Steelers, it kind of gets me into one of my next training camp spots where I am right now as we work through some training camp observations here for you on the Move the Sticks podcast. I'm on training camp destination number 4 at a place here in New Orleans where the Saints have a new secondary coach who was most recently with the Dallas Cowboys in Chris Richard. And you want to talk about energy. He's the voice that you hear loudly and constantly at Saints practice. Now, they got some work to do in the secondary outside of Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams and trying to figure out what they want to do at that second corner spot. Maybe it's the rookie Paulson Adebo, who had some nice reps the last couple of days, who they drafted in the third round. And who knows if Marshawn Lattimore is going to be there for the first couple of weeks as he's kind of dealt with some legal issues this offseason and addressed those. Saying he hopes he doesn't get suspended. He's going to prepare like he isn't, like he's ready to play. But fact is, he might actually miss some games, depending on how all that settles out with the NFL and the personal conduct policy. So, it was fun for me to like stand right kind of where Chris Richard was on the same yard line with him as he was watching his guys kind of work through one-on-one. Because Bucky, I always look, the receiver in me always looks at one-on-ones from the wide receiver perspective. So listening to him kind of run back and forth to each side, coaching up each guy on each rep, I was like, oh man, this is kind of a cool perspective for me to see what he's talking about. And let me just say this, whatever happens with Marshawn Lattimore to start the season, there is nobody that can beat him in one-on-ones with the Saints.
He's locking him down. He owns him like that.
I didn't see it. I mean, now keep in mind, Michael Thomas isn't out here, but Tre'Quan Smith and Marshawn were kind of paired up. You know, they were the guys going rep for rep with each other. And, you know, Tre'Quan had, he had a shadow and it was Marshawn Lattimore.
Now, I don't know. There's two things when I think of that. Either Marshawn Lattimore is on the top of his game or we have serious concerns about the Saints wide receivers and their inability to get open. Now, I will say this. I know you are a guy who's always followed the Saints. Like, it's kind of like a part of you.
Surely.
Like is that your hometown team?
It was my childhood team. Yeah, my pops worked there for 32 years. And he went to some other destinations.
So I get this wrong. So I knew the Detroit thing. I didn't know he worked for the Saints for 30 years.
Yes, 1969 to 2000.
Oh, okay. So, see, I always knew the Detroit thing. Oh, so that's really your squad. Like deep down, that's it. That's the childhood devotion.
Well, but you know how family loyalties go, though, right? If there's an unceremonious exit,
they did your dad dirty. So now you have mixed feelings when you walk in the building.
Right, it's like, different.
It's not the same.
Enough time has passed, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I get that because. I can say this, Red. I have mixed feelings with the five teams that I worked for.
I'm sure
that I played for and I got let go. Like it was tough, but I do worry about their receivers and the playmakers or maybe lack thereof on the perimeter. But then the thing that always brings me back, I've seen this Saints team for years have production with a bunch of
Devery Henderson, you know, Robert Meacham before he got that big contract with the Chargers.
Robert Meacham, Devery Henderson.
Marcus Colston.
Marcus Colston.
Was a seventh round pick. Michael Lewis.
Yeah. I mean, like, they've done it. Now, the difference was, I think the common
denominator. Lance Moore.
Yeah. You had Drew Brees or whatever. Now you have a different quarterback situation.
That's the key, bud.
Changes it. And I'm so fascinated by this quarterback battle because, in my mind, you start Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill can do what he's always done. But if Taysom Hill starts, how does that change his utilization?
That changes it
a little bit.
We had this conversation actually with DJ, who was a part of our show yesterday here from New Orleans, and kind of felt the same way. It was like, if you add Taysom as the starter, you lose Jameis entirely. Whereas if you take Jameis, you can still have Taysom if you take Jameis as a starter. Now, I don't know how much that's really, I think Sean Payton kind of downplayed all that with Baldy when Baldy was talking to him. And they're alternating. I mean, it's a real competition here, even though it feels like it's Jameis Winston's job to lose. Last couple of days, I don't think have been the best days for the quarterbacks, from the guys I was talking to out here watching practice. Well, like there had been some better days earlier.
Both of them were struggling a little bit.
I don't know if it just wasn't as sharp. Yeah, it just wasn't as sharp. It wasn't as sharp as you might expect. But I mean, poor Jameis got knocked over running through the gauntlet. I hope you saw that.
I did see that. It wasn't a great look. It wasn't a great look for my man. But you know, those things tend to happen sometimes.
Yeah. Golly, man. Watch out. Yeah. Watch out, Jameis. Stay out of that stuff. Stay out of that stuff. Leave that to the big fellas.
Watch out, Jameis. Yeah, that's a tricky deal.
So anyway, so that's what they're dealing with the quarterback spot. But you are absolutely right that there are some real questions about what they're going to do for playmakers on the perimeter. Now, Deontay Harris has played really well in camp. I think he's kind of coming into his own more as a wide receiver, but I think he's out for the first couple of games of the season. Traquan Smith left practice on Tuesday, did not practice on Wednesday. So you're out there, Bucky, with the guy who we watched at the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl in Marquez Callaway, the undrafted free agent from Tennessee, who's basically their number one receiver. And no, that's not any disrespect. That's just to say, like, you know, that those are the resources that the Saints have spent in that position group. And so you got you've got Marquez Callaway, who played well as a rookie last year, caught some balls from Drew Brees. And then the other thing is Chris Hogan, to me, was like the best receiver out on the field the last 2 days. And he just signed like 3 days ago.
Well, that's a problem. Because in our league, we know Chris Hogan is a 4 or 5.
Right.
Not a 1, 2, or 3. Like, he's a nice compliment. We don't go to Ruth Chris and order Chris Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of comes. That's family style.
No, look, he's made a nice career for himself. You know what I mean? Like, he's done really well. He's won some Super Bowls with the Patriots and you know, has played well in the NFL and has earned the right to have this opportunity and has taken advantage of it. So great for him. But how does that make you feel about the Saints? Right? Because then you know, you're looking at like Kwon Baker from South Alabama was their seventh round pick. Little Jordan Humphrey is out here too. They re-signed Tommy Lee Lewis. I just don't know what to make of that crew yet.
I mean, look, man, by the sounds of it, it doesn't sound great. But here's what I've always believed to be the key for the Saints on offense. When they are at their best, man, it's the running game. And I think if we really rattle off, if we rattle off and rank their top offensive players throughout the offensive line, man, I think it'd have to be Kamara and Latavius Murray at the top of the charts, right? So does that mean we get more of the two-back rotation, the two-back situation where maybe you put both of those guys on the field? Or are we doing the rotation that they used to have when, you remember, they used to roll through Ingram and Kamara and all those other guys going all the way back with Sproles? They had a bunch of different running backs.
Pierre Thomas, yep.
Yeah, key roles. And so I wonder if Sean Payton goes back to that recipe a little bit of the ball control, pounded,
yeah,
play action, that part of it, as opposed to
it would make
wide
sense.
Open quarterback centric version of the Saints that we've seen the last few years when Drew Brees was certainly in his prime.
And let's not forget, they just signed Devontae Freeman a few days ago as well. So you throw, you know, Free, who, you know, hasn't been the same player he was, you know, in the early parts of his career when he was with the Falcons. You throw him into that mix, and it makes me wonder, like, you know, are you right? And maybe even are we going to see some Kamara, you know, lined up out, you know, out wide? I mean, a guy's caught 80 balls a year for the last 4 years.
Hey, you know, it's Red, is something that I believe we absolutely could see is utilizing that part of his game. Because to me, that's the thing, like going base personnel, two backs on the field, but using Kamara as the third wide receiver. How do you handle that as a defense? Do you put nickel on the field? Do you play your base? Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. And by the way, Pete Werner getting a lot of run for the Saints with the ones and twos, trying to solidify that spot, kind of standing next to Demario Davis on that second level of the Saints defense. Zach Bond competing for that spot as well, their third round pick from last year out of Wisconsin. So there's some, and then Peyton Turner, I think, has impressed. Well, he's been big. I mean, like Cam Jordan was talking to Baldy and was like, man, I'm the smallest defensive end in our room right now. I got Marcus Davenport over here. I got Tano Passanio that's 6'7" now. And I got Peyton Turner saying, I'm 6'4" and I'm the smallest guy in this room. They got a nice little rotation. That's going to be, I think Dennis Allen does a great job with that defense in New Orleans. And I think one way or another, they're going to be okay. But as I wrap up my thoughts about New Orleans, I'll tease ahead to what we're going to wrap up this show with is one breakout player here for 2021. And this breakout player will come from the New Orleans Saints for me. So little tease for you, but I want to get to some of your training camp observations here, Buck, that you've seen with some of the teams that you've been around.
So it was great. Like last weekend, I had a chance to be around the Cleveland Browns. It was the day that the news broke about Nick Chubb signing the extension.
That's awesome.
Like $12 million a year, 3 years, $36 million. I want to say $20 million of that is guaranteed. And in watching that Browns team, man, this team is so talented. Everywhere you look, I mean, they have five-star playmakers everywhere. Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah. You look in the secondary, they were raving about the rookie Greg Newsom from Northwestern coming in. And they were only talking about his talent, but they're talking about his aptitude, how scheme-friendly he has been with anything and everything that they've thrown at him. So you put him opposite Ward. You have John Johnson III coming over as a free agent, controlling the middle of the defense. Anthony Walker Jr. coming from the Colts.
Yep.
They're just really loaded. But then offensively, I think that is where the confidence of the team stems from in terms of their Super Bowl aspirations. The offensive line is one of the best in the league, if not the best, when you watch them work in unison. Bill Callahan doesn't get enough credit for what he's done with that unit. But then when you go to the running backs and just watching them work in endo, right? Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, like thick, physical runners who also can catch the ball out the backfield. The day that I was there, OBJ wasn't working out, but man, he looks great. He looks great.
That's good.
You watch him kind of bouncing around and doing things. Jarvis Landry was doing it. They're really excited about Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Who's heard some reviews there.
Yeah, freak athlete who's kind of coming into his own and watching him improve. And then the three tight ends that they have, right? There was some tension early in the offseason with David and Joku, maybe not wanting to be there. But then when you look, they have three tight ends that deserve to be on the field at the same time. Harrison Bryant, David Njoku, Austin Hooper, all of those guys can play. And so I just think about the potential multiplicity of this offense and what Kevin Stefanski wants to do. Man, you should get really excited. And the thing that I really like about the way that they practice, it reminded me of the old 49ers, Packers practices that I've been around where it's more mental than physical. The tempo is there, but man, he's really taking care of the guys. I believe their number one objective is to get to the regular season fully loaded with all of their weapons available, because the talent, just the talent alone, gives them a chance, gives them a chance to win a ton of games. I really believe that they are focused on getting the game one ready to go, and I think they could explode.
And like how rare is it that we're talking about a team arguably having the best draft when you're drafting all the way back where they were? You know, I mean, like it's and we're going to see. I can't wait to see some of these guys in the preseason. I am so excited for preseason football this year because we didn't have it last year. You know, you can watch all every single preseason game at one point or another. We'll be on NFL Network and a record 23 live preseason games on NFL Network this year, starting starting I think the 12th of August. So we're coming up on it here next Thursday, a week from today.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, like Red, yeah. I'm heading to Jacksonville this weekend. We have a scrimmage with the Jaguars, so I'm working through some of the mechanics.
Yeah.
In terms of I'm teaming up with Brian Sexton to do the color. He's doing the play by play, going through all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then that following Saturday, the 14th, Jaguars and Browns. And I think that'll probably be rebroadcast
on
NFL Network. Yeah. So it should be interesting. It should be a lot of fun.
Can't wait to hear you in the booth, man. I know we had so much fun together out there in Pasadena at the NFLPA game. So
I know, Red, I don't want to do a shameless plug, but I feel like you and I should get more of the games
Let's
that are on
go.
NFL Network.
Let's
I feel
go,
like, I feel Buck. Like I feel like, you know, Red, like I mean, I don't know if you know, we haven't talked about it a lot, but like the East West game is going to be on our network on a Thursday.
Let's talk about it.
The same time as like the Senior
Bowl. The Senior Bowl. Let's go.
I mean,
that's right. Nabil was with us too. Yeah, Nabil was with us. Nabil, you come be in the booth with us. You come be the spotter.
Let's go. Yeah, we should be a spotter.
Come on,
man. Like we can get the boards built and all that other stuff. So now
that was fun. Yeah.
Nah, so it should be a lot of fun. And so like you just talk about all the things that we're covering and how the network is doing such a great job of just putting all those games on. So it should be a ton of fun.
No question. All right. So you're going to Jacksonville this weekend. I am about to board a plane. Well, not about to, but about 2 hours from now, I got to get on a plane to go to Minneapolis. There's been a lot going on with the Vikings.
Make sure you mask up.
Well,
the good news is
that I think Mike Zimmer is going to be in a much better mood now that Kirk Cousins and Nate Stanley are off the COVID-19 list and are back out at practice. I don't know what the word is on Kellen Mond, but it didn't sound like Coach Zim was super excited about how that whole situation went down. So maybe I can get out of there without actually having to ask him about it now that those guys are back. So I'm curious to see what that team looks like. I mean, for my money, one of the best wide receiver duos in football with Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. And then I've got trips to the Giants and the Bengals after that. And the Bengals are really kind of sneaky intriguing this year, especially for a guy who loves wide receiver play like I do and like I know you do, watching that trio with Ja'Marr Chase joining the fold. So, all right, so that'll be fun. We've got those training camp. We'll have some more training camp thoughts here for you as you keep checking back with us here on the Move the Sticks podcast. But I want to leave this episode, Bucky, by paying off our tees with a breakout player heading into 2021. Obviously, we could choose like 100 different players here that we feel like are really going to step into a nice role in 2021. The guy for me, as I was teasing, is a New Orleans Saint, and he was a rookie last year at tight end, Adam Trautman. Now, there's a lot of reasons why I feel like this could be a breakout player for 2021, Bucky, because one, go back and listen to our conversation about the Saints receivers. Okay. Mm-hmm. They need some production out of that position. By the way, Emmanuel Sanders and Jared Cook, who was their tight end here last year in the last couple of years, those two guys accounted for 12 touchdowns together last year, and they're both gone. Okay. So I think there's a void at tight end that Adam Trautman can step into. And I think he's been getting, he's been impressing. And I think the Saints really like him. The second year player out of Dayton. And so I'm excited to see what he does this year for this team. And I mean, like the media guys that I've been talking to that have been out here at practice, you know, kind of raved about the plays that Adam Trautman was making. And I'm bummed out. I had my first fantasy draft last night. And
already?
Yeah, I know. It's way too early. Like, it's way too early.
We didn't even know who's going to win the team yet.
I know. It's way too early. But we were anxious. All my friends were in New Orleans together. We're all in the same league, and we've never been able to do all a live draft. So we did it, and I didn't get somebody snuck Trautman before I was going to take him. So anyway, but I think Adam Trautman has a real opportunity to be a breakout player here. Who you got?
Oh, so look, man, I can play the homer. I'm going to tell you, I know you were at Cowboys camp. Everyone is talking about CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
The trick, I will say, like, I won't pick him as my breakout player, but I will say this. They have told me that they're doing something different in Dallas that they haven't done before, is where all the receivers are interchangeable, meaning they can play anywhere in the position in the formation. CeeDee Lamb last year had almost 1,000 yards playing extensively in the slot.
Correct.
Well, now you give him the opportunity to move outside because he's been occupying pretty much the number one receiver role since Amari Cooper has been sidelined. Yeah. Oh, he has a chance to do terrific things. So he is a guy to keep an eye on. The other guy I would tell you to keep an eye on, this is a bit of a homer plug, Laviska Shenault from Jacksonville.
Huncho.
Hey, I am hearing that there may be a bit of a love affair between Urban Meyer and Shenault and what he believes Shenault could be. Yeah. I just think back to what he was able to do at Colorado when he would play Wildcat QB and he would catch it on the perimeter and he would get the ball in his hands. Well, we've heard so much about the H-back position in Urban Meyer's offense, how the best athlete goes there. We're talking about Percy Harvin and Paris Campbell and Curtis Samuel. Laviska Shenault
could occupy
that role, even though we heard people talk about Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
I think Laviska Shenault is probably the guy who's going to get an opportunity to be that H-back for the Jaguars.
Could be one of those stars of the preseason, too, that we see kind of emerge.
Yeah, yeah, can make it really, really explosive and dynamic for them.
With DJ Chark together there, and if you're using Travis Etienne, you know, split out too. I mean, like that's an explosive bunch. That's exciting. I'm excited for you. Get up in the booth and call some Jaguars preseason there for the Jags. All right, so let's see. So you're up next in Jacksonville. You got any other teams on your docket, by the way, before this thing's over?
No, that's it. Keeping it local. I go see the Rams and the Chargers and those things. Keep my eyes on them. But right now, man, it's pretty good. I kind of like the schedule. I like sitting back at the house and just looking at what everyone is showing on NFL Network, what everyone's talking about, getting the conversations. Also, if the listeners are not paying attention, like each and every day on NFL.com, there's a training camp buzz that kind of recaps some of the best conversations in written form that guys have throughout the day. You might want to check that out. A lot of insight dropped in those nuggets. So look for it. It's the Training Camp Buzz. It's on NFL.com.
That's fantastic. Also over there on the NFL app, which you can find. So, all right, that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Move the Sticks podcast. Back next week with a couple more episodes as well. And check out all of our video content over at NFL.com/MTS video. I assume DJ will be back at some point next week from his training camp tour. And I will check in with you guys a bit later. All right, Buck. See you, bud.
Appreciate it, Brett.